Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. We welcome you to this program, Al Fiqhu ala al Madahib al Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. And alhamdulillah, today's date is the 5th of Rabiul Awal, 1445. Previously, we've been discussing Masjid al-Haram, the Haram Sharifain, Masjid al-Aqsa. Last week we discussed Masjid al-Quba, and this week, inshallah, we will be discussing Masjid Khalilur Rahman of Hebron. Let's welcome Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab, Tamad Barakatuh. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Ana Zaid Khan, jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, this masjid, what is the background attached to it?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we mentioned last week, today we know is the 5th of Rabi'ul Awwal 1445, and we mentioned last week that as far as reward sawab goes, the greatest sawab reward one will obtain and attain in Makkah Mukarramah, authentic hadith 100,000, then Madinah Munawwara 50,000, that's the weak hadith, and the sahih authentic hadith is 1,000. And then Aqsa al-Mubarak, the weak hadith, 25,000. And then the sahih hadith, 1,000. And then Masjid al-Quba, so you get the reward, authentic hadith. Any day you go, not only Saturday, and you receive the reward of one accepted umrah. So these four masajid, when you go there, you make that intention is fine. So all other masajid and mosque, remember that the reward will be the same. But in Islam, we have one terminology which is good to know, Al-Masajidul Qadima, or Al-Masajidul Athariya, which means that the ancient masajid and old masajid. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks of Nabi Ibrahim, Khalilur Rahman, Khalilullah, in various places in the Noble Quran, 69 times his Nami, Ismigrami, honorable name is mentioned in the Noble Quran, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Chapter 14 is dedicated to him, Surah to Ibrahim. And we find Ibrahim means Abun Rahim, the compassionate, kind father. So we can see what a mighty, great messenger he is. And وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Almighty Allah made him the Khalil. Obviously, as Muslims who believe in the Quran Sharif, Sunnah Mubarakah, and we believe all the Sahaba are entering Jannah and Paradise, we believe in the Awliyaullah, we follow the four schools of jurisprudence. So the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we still believe that Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, is, will always be Imamul Anbiya wal Mursaleen, the greatest of all prophets and messengers for all times, all places, all circumstances. So now if you want to know the history of this masjid, so you'll have to go to the Quran Sharif itself, and you see Surah number 34, Surah Sabah. And there Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is speaking about the mu'jizat, the miracles that were given to him, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So Surah 34 and verse number 13. So that's your point of reference. Surah 34 and verse number 13. Now when you understand this verse, then you have to go to another verse as well. So that is chapter number 38, and that is Surah Swad, where he, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, cried and begged and petitioned Almighty Allah and said, this is after he reconstructed and built Masjidul Aqsa. Masjidul Haram, Baytullah, was built. Bani, or world, the first builder, constructor, was Nabi Adam alayhi salam. And second one was Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Surah 2, verse 127, 128, all that. And then the first Bani, or world, 40 years after the Baytullah, was Masjidul Aqsa, and built by Nabi Adam alayhi salam. Then came the time of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam. He rebuilt it, he refurbished it. Then after the reconstruction of it, he made three du'as. And the du'as are enshrined and mentioned in Surah, in Sunan Nasai. In Sunan Nasai, the Hadith Kitab. But one du'a is mentioned here in the Noble Quran, which he made. And is a famous du'a, chapter number 38, Surah Swad, and verse 35. So understand this one, Surah 38, chapter 38, verse 35. He said, after building Masjidul Aqsa, Rabbi Ghfirli, Ya Allah, forgive me. Anbiya, prophets and messengers, when they say, Ya Allah, forgive me, then there are two, three reasons. They are ma'asoom, they don't commit any sins. So Rabbi Ghfirli, Ya Allah, forgive me for my mistakes. Mistake they can make. Rabbi Ghfirli, Ya Allah, forgive me for my error in judgment, if I made any mistake in verdict or anything. And third one, you must remember, they said, Rabbi Ghfirli Tawadhuan, out of humility to Almighty Allah's majesty, greatness and authority, sovereignty. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar Kabira, Allah was, is, will always be the biggest, greatest, mightiest. And Ta'aliman lil Ummah, so to teach the Ummah, the various generations, nations, that we all must say, Rabbi Ghfirli, Ya Allah, forgive me, for me and you, we say it, because daily we are committing vices and sins. So then after that, he begs Almighty Allah. So here also we learn a lesson. Before we ask Allah something, ask Almighty Allah first for forgiveness. Then he said, Wahabli. Habli means how Allah Ta'ala, chapter 42, verses 49-50, Allah Ta'ala bless me with no children. So that is also enshrined in this verse. Allah Ta'ala bless Mu'azahid with only daughters. He bless brother Suleiman with sons only. So you see, all this is mentioned in the Quran. So chapter 42, Surah to Shura, verses 49 and verse 50, Yahabu limay yasha'u inatha, wa yahabu limay yasha'u dhukur. Allah wants, he gives you a gift only of daughters. Allah wants, he gives you a gift only of sons. And if he wants, O yuzo vijuhum dhukurana wa inatha, and you have another couple where you have, mashallah, sons and daughters. So one son, one daughter, three sons, five, whatever the case might be. And wa yaj'alu may yasha'u aqima, and he wants, he leaves you barren, you don't have children. So you see, the word there is Yahabu. Wahaba Yahabu means a gift. So a present, Allah is giving Hiba, the masdar, the verbal noun. So yeah, he's asking, Wahaba li mulkal la yambaghi. Ya Allah, you grant me such a magnificent kingdom, la yambaghi li ahadim min ba'di. And Ya Allah, you don't grant that to anybody after me, such a magnificent kingdom. And what he said, innaka antal wahhab. You are the best of givers, Ya Allah. Chapter 38, and that is Surah Sa'd, and verse 35, right? So let's carry on with that hadith in Sunan Nasai. So this was the first thing he asked Almighty Allah. Second dua he asked Almighty Allah, Uwati u hukmi hukmak. Ya Allah, my verdict must concur, must correspond, must agree with your judgment, Ya Allah. In English, they stole this, yeah, you must remember. They say when you are faced encountering difficulty, you need the wisdom of Solomon to unravel this knot. You see how it's taken from this hadith? So Allah Ta'ala speaks of it, and then Allah says, wa Dawood wa Sulaiman is yahkumani fil harth. Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, regarding the same issue, two different verdicts. Allah praised father and son, and wa kullan atayna hukma wa ilma. But Allah said, fa fahamnaha Sulaiman. Sulaiman alayhi salam had a better understanding and a profound understanding. So his was aqrab ila sawab, nearer to the truth. So same thing, if you understood that, then you will understand the ikhtilaf in the madahib of the fuqaha, same thing. They don't pass the verdict based on their ego, lust, desires, whims and fancies. They base it on ijtihad and so forth. And therefore Imam Shafi'i said, wala inkara fil ijtihad. You can't object on a person who makes ijtihad, remember that. I make ijtihad, I think mine is correct. He made ijtihad, he thinks his is correct, and it carries on. And this will be your basis for that, remember. In Bukhari Sharif also is mentioned, Qissatul Kubra wa Sughra, that a lady came, she had a baby in her hand, she was elderly, and the young lady, dispute was that whose baby is it? The matter went to Nabi Dawood alayhi salam. He investigated, he passed the verdict. He said it's for the Kubra, because the Zahir, the prima facie evidence was in her favor, like. So he passed the verdict. When they passed the chamber of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, he said, my verdict should be different. I'll put the baby here on the table, take a big knife sword and chop the baby in half. You take half, you take half. The younger one, the Sughra, started screaming, no, 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 give it to the big one, leave it there. He said, the baby belongs to the younger one. He said, subhanAllah, how you know? He said, nobody will shout and scream like this, only a biological mother will scream like that. See? So there again, so that is the wisdom of Sulaiman. And then third one, for me and you in South Africa, in Britain, America, wherever we are, Singapore, Malaysia, man ata hadhal bayt, who comes to this bayt, Masjidul Aqsa, la yuridu illa salata fi, with no hidden agenda and that, but to perform and read salat there, then you must remember, raja ka yawmin waladatu ummuhu, then you come back so purified and cleansed, like the day your biological mother gave birth to you. So you must look at all the turuq there and all the ways of transmission there, then you will find this hadith. But the main hadith is in Sunan Nasa'i. So now, once we got this background, so Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam, he made these du'as. So he had the jinnat under control. He had what? The jinnat under control. So what they going to do, the jinnat? وَمَنْ يَزِغْ مِنْهُمْ عَنْ أَمْرِنَا. And whosoever from them, these jinnat, they divert and deviate. You see today, we employ a carpenter, a builder, a plumber. Half the time they come, wrong time they come. They come when they feel like. You know all the problems. So remember that. So yeah, if they don't do what I'm telling them to do, an amrina, our command, nuziqhum min adhabi sa'ir. So then we will punish them with a blazing fire. So they knew they must do what Sulaiman alayhi salam told them. Otherwise, serious problem. Now what they will do? See? Surah 34 verses 12-13, ya'maluna. Allah mentioned in the present tense, as though we must visualize. Lahu, they would practice and do and carry out into action for him, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, ma yasha'u, what he wanted. Mim mahariba. Maharib, the plural of mihrab. So you have a masjid, right? And the masjid in front, it has that niche, it has that semicircle. So that's mihrab. So the masjid they will build, the place of worship, you see. And mahrib mihrab, the place of fighting. Who are we fighting? We're fighting Satan, we're fighting our ego, we're fighting society. We must have orientation, direction. For us, every masjid in the world is facing the Baytullah. So we must never lose direction and orientation. So in those days, they used to face Masjidul Aqsa. So min mahariba, wa tamathila. So you must remember that, big statues and whatever, all that was permissible. Wajifanin, so you must remember the big tubs, like you understand, containers and all that, and kal jawab, like big tubs and all. Wakuduri rasiat, you know what we call digs, you know, in the wedding. So you bring a big deg and so forth, like that, kudur. Therefore, the book of the Hanafis, kuduri. So the author, he used to make all these things, the big degs, the cauldrons and all. Rasiyat, firm, nobody could move it also. So that is what they used to do. Now, if you put this all together, And you look at that masjid, if you've been there, you've been there to Palestine, to Khalilur Rahman Mona?
No, not to the masjid.
So now you must remember, you should have gone there. So no person must go to Aqsa al-Mubarak, and you don't go to Khalilur Rahman. Masjid Ibrahim is known as Masjid Ibrahimi in Khalilur Rahman. So the Jutla is translated as Hebron. So you must remember, no human being can build all like that. If you look at it, it's big, big slabs and huge, huge slabs, you must remember. So definitely, ulama have written that you must remember that only jinnats and the big, big jinnats and them could go and pick those slabs up and construct all this here. So we, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, say, from that aspect and perspective, this virtue has great worth, this masjid has great virtue. Masjid al-Haram, Quran calls Baytullah, built by Anbiya, Nabi Adam alayhi salam, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Masjid al-Nabawi, built by Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Masjid al-Quba, built by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Masjid al-Aqsa, built by Nabi Adam alayhi salam and Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. That's also built by a Nabi, built by Nabi meaning that he instructed them to build it and so forth. He was supervising it. So when you have a contractor, you have a builder, so maybe he's supervising, but you will still say he's the builder. So likewise, this masjid also was built there during the time of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, under he was mushrif, he was a supervisor, and so forth and so on, right? Now this masjid is very, very old. How do we know it's very, very old? When you enter the masjid, you must remember that there's two, three other aspects I must explain to you. So when you enter the masjid, and then you're facing Qibla, right? Baytullah. So you must remember that, then on the left-hand side, you will see the Qabr, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. Then Qabr Mubarak. Then Qabr Mubarak, Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam. Then you will see Qabr Mubarak, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam. Now we must understand, people are simple today, you know. They are not buried there. You must remember that. These are just symbols, you must remember that, and that. They are gharat, they are caves far low below. So in those gharat, in those caves, right at the bottom, they are buried there, these noble, honorable personalities. You see that? So that is why people think they buried there. No, that is just a nishani. You must remember that. How? When you go to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 550, 560 years ago, so Sultan Qatibai, you must remember, he put that, you must remember, green fence and all these things there. And then the Ottoman Empire came, you must remember, and then they put all the nishanis there. So now you see by Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ring is much bigger. And then by Sayyidina Abu Bakr, is a bit smaller. And then by Sayyidina Umar, is same size like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. To show you are standing directly opposite the Master alayhi salatu salam. But it don't mean Nabi alayhi salatu salam is buried on top. It's buried right at the bottom. So remember that. So that is what we must understand this. Now Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykhul Islam, made a great observation. And that's what we accept as well. Any Nabi's grave, any Prophet's grave, in any part of the world, beside that of Mustafa, Habibuna, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember the Master alayhi salatu salam's grave Mubarak is there in Medina Munawwara. 100% the Master alayhi salatu salam is resting there, and the court Mubarak, the Rosa Mubarak, everything is there. Okay? But other Anbiya, prophets and messengers, here we say three Anbiya are buried. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam. We can say 70, 80, 90%. But we can't say 99, 100%. Because you must remember, we're not 100% sure. We will say there's ghalaba idhwan, but we can't say there's yaqeen. So you understand that masla also. So today governments, you know, they are... Today, Arab government, Muslim government, three quarter of them, half of them, murtad. What they going to worry about Islam? They will sell everything for money. So they want to promote siyaha. They want to promote tourism. They will tell you, this Nabi is buried here, this Nabi is buried here, that Nabi is buried. I give you one easy example. Do you understand? See how they fool the people. If you go to Oman, Oman is a country, O-M-A-N. One is Amman. Amman is the capital of Jordan. Don't get confused. One is Oman. Oman, the capital is Muscat. And the other famous place is, you must remember, Salalah. So I went to New Zealand. From New Zealand, I had a long flight, and then we came there and all. Cut long story short, so there in Muscat, you must remember, so that people took us around, you know, guide. And you ask this one, that one. So then, they got a long grave there. So I asked them, whose grave? He said, Hazrat Imran alayhi salam. So I asked, so this one sheikh, they one like a imam, you know. So you could make out he's like a learned guy. So I asked him, which Imran is this? And which Imran is alayhi salam? So once you start questioning, then he starts smiling. He knows that this guy caught up the game. So he said, Mafi Shay, you understand? Say, this is just to fool the people. There's nothing like this. You must remember that they just got some Imran and the Hazrat Imran alayhi salam. If you go to Muscat then, you go to Salalah, and there you will find Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam. And the people just rushing and all lies, all that kind of thing. Nothing authentic, you see. So you must remember that is that. So one Nabi's grave, they left 2-3 countries. So how you can have it like that? So you must remember that. So therefore, we must be very, very careful and skeptical of these type of things, especially nowadays when you go, you know. Like this morning's lesson that we had. So you must remember this about وَوَصَيْنَ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. So the sabab al-nuzul is about Sa'd ibn Waqas, he embraced Islam, and his mother said she won't eat, she won't drink unless he denounces Islam. He said, you can do what you want to, I'll never leave Islam. Then she was getting weaker, all that, then he would take the food, water, insert in her mouth, and then obviously, so I said today people will tell you Sa'd ibn Waqas is buried in China, in Guangzhou. I went just for that reason to China, to Guangzhou. So our people are naive, simple, you know. They can't even read. If you go there, it's written clearly, I saw it myself, Abu Sa'd ibn Waqas. So they took the Abu and threw it away and they say Sa'd ibn Waqas is there. Sa'd ibn Waqas is buried in Baqi, in Jannatul Baqi. Even Jannatul Baqi is not the right term. So our ulama, they write it. Just say Baqi or say Baqi ul-Gharqat. So you must remember this. You can't say everybody buried in Baqi is Jannati. The non-Muslims, Munafiqin were also buried there. Quran says that, you must remember that. وَمِنْ أَهَلِ الْمَدِينَةِ مَرَضُوا عَلَى النِّفَاقِ لَا تَعْلَمُهُمْ نَعْلَمُهُمْ. So we hope to pass away there. We want to pass away, but Iman and Islam is the prerequisite. So you must be clear on these issues here. So people, you know, herd mentality, so we must educate them and so forth. So that also just came in, by the way. So now this is what we must understand. Now, my personal observation of this whole thing. In 89, we perform a Hajj. With Allah's help, Allah's mercy, my wife, myself. With Allah's help, then from there we went to Cairo. So after Hajj, from there we came to Tel Aviv, and then we went there to, we don't know anybody. And then you must remember, then we went, we spent time in Aqsa. Then we asked them, now where else? He said, go Khalilur Rahman. So you go. You have your passport with you always and that. So we went, and the whole masjid belongs to us. And the whole place is full of Muslims. If you come to my house now also, and you will see I got one watch, the clock there, and the ayat is written around there. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi layla min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. They were such masters, you know, these people. They would make everything with their hand. So this type of thing. That calligraphy, making the watch, making the clock, whatever, everything handmade, like, you know. So remember that we say Khalilur Rahman, the Jutlas and the Westerners call it Hebron. So that is 89. So you must remember. 92, I went again with Allah's help. It's still our masjid, still everything is fine, status quo remain, and that, and Muslims are coming. I was in Newcastle. From 81 January to 2001 January, full 20 years, right? So you must remember, it was a Saturday morning. So Saturday morning after madrasa, madrasa finished 11 o'clock, up past 11, 12 o'clock, whatever time. So I went that side, that game and click and all that, if you know Newcastle, that time in the 80s, you see. So you must remember this, 80s, 90s. So this is, you must remember this date, and you must just Google it there, Maulana. So you must remember it is that the 16th of Ramadan. It was 16th Ramadan, 1994. 16th Ramadan, 1994, Saturday morning, Fajr time. This incident I'm going to narrate, relate to you, took place. I was coming, it's my habit from those days, you understand? Whenever I'm in the car, so then I listen to the news. So when I was coming, I was supposed to go back to Darul Uloom. So 1 o'clock news I heard, and they said a massacre took place. You must remember, in Hebron, Khalilur Rahman, and this happened, this happened. So I just stopped the car, parked there in the town masjid, and then I rushed inside. I think I read my sunnats, or there wasn't time for sunnats, and I read afterwards, but I got the first salat. And after the first salat, I stood up, and I said, brothers, every one of us, please, I beg you, appeal to you, read 2 rakat salat. A terrible message. I think it is 25th of February, 1994. Just Google it and see. Is it the right date?
I'm just waiting for this.
So you must remember the Suleiman. You can also just check it there. So 16th Ramadan, 1994. So Ramadan it was. Saturday morning. And it was, if I remember correctly, 25th February, 1994. The English date, Gregorian date, you must check up. The Islamic date is 100%. In South Africa, it was 15th Ramadan. Day in Aqsa al-Mubarak, it was 16th Ramadan. 1994. So what happened on that day? Is Ramadan, Hebron is filled to capacity with Muslims, and the masjid is packed to capacity. People had their suhoor, they came to the masjid, and then you must remember that. So now you see the shaitan, the harami, we got the super terrorists. So Ben Gwee, who is Minister of Security, and they are real terrorists, haramis they are. So his best friend. So you must remember that he's Baruch Goldstein. What you must always remember, we must name them, shame them, and nail them. You must remember that. So while they're reading Fajr Salat, it's all the men are in front, obviously. The masjid is packed, you understand? So he enters, the police want to, they give him permission. He comes with his Uzi, and he starts firing. While they're in Salat, in prayer, in Namaz, 29 of them became shuhada and martyrs in the masjid whilst reading salat. The others succumbed to the injury, passed away that day, next day, 2 days, 3 days. Approximately, give this way, that way, 1, 2. So 70 of them became shuhada. You got the date now?
25th of February.
Yeah, so this is what I told. So 25th of February, you must remember that. So if you want to Google it, the massacre of Hebron. So in Masjid Khalilur Rahman, Saturday morning, Fajr time, 25th February. So that is there. And Islamically, 16th Ramadan. And I was in Newcastle and nobody in the masjid even knew about it. So that is what happened. Now, this is what I want to show you. Then our Muslims who were there, they got hold of Baruch Goldstein and they hit him and put some bullets also through him with his gun and whatever and dispatched him straight to Jahannam, the harami. What the Israelis, the Jutlas, the cursed nation did, they never ever people were chosen by Allah. They were always cursed by Allah because they murdered prophets and messengers. They rejected prophets and messengers. They tried to assassinate prophets and messengers. They murdered Zakaria alayhi salatu salam. They murdered Nabi Yahya alayhi salam, John the Baptist as they call. And they tried to assassinate Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salam. They tried to assassinate Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. And they even changed the Torah. Yuharrifun al-kalima ammawadi. So if you put Jutla with Almighty Allah, they said, Ya waqalatil Yahud, Yadullahi maghlula. They said, Allah Ta'ala is stingy. Allah made them stingy and cursed them. Ghullat aydihim walu'inu bima qalu. You put Jutla vis-a-vis prophets, messengers, they killed prophets, messengers and rejected them and tried to assassinate them. You put Jutlas and Jews and Quran and divine scriptures, they changed it, the Torah and all these things there. You put Jutlas and Muslims, so they are our worst enemies. Surah 5, verse 82. You see, that is all Quran. So we must understand this. And therefore, MBS and all of them are murtad bin shaitan. They're very proud. They want to normalize ties. And a whole lot of these Arab regimes who have normalized ties with Israel, a whole lot of murtad, you must remember that. They worship America and they worship these people more than they worship Allah Ta'ala. They make us fools and idiots, you must remember. And tomorrow, you must remember this also. All of you on radio, maybe you hear, you don't hear tomorrow. Tomorrow's khutbah will be rendered by Sheikh Awad, Abdullah Awad Al-Juwani. That's his name. I don't even feel like calling him Sheikh. I just call him Abdullah Awad Juwani. One of the biggest chamchas and sidekicks of the royal family. Tomorrow, I'm telling you from now, you must listen to the khutbah. So Suleiman, you'll be here, you must listen. Even if you don't understand Arabic, then this much you will understand. In the ending, when he's making dua, he will say, Khadimul Haramain Sharifain does this, Al-Malik Salman bin Abdul Aziz Ali Saud, and praise him. You will think he's such an Amirul Mu'mineen that he waged jihad against the whole, all the non-Muslims. For what? They're not Khadimul Haramain Sharifain. They're Khainul Haramain Sharifain. They are traitors to Islam. And then he'll get Waliyu Ahdihi Al Amin. You understand? The Pakka Murtad and right by the Kaaba, where Quran says, وَمَن يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُزِقُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. You lie standing on the minbar. Ittaqillah ya Abdullah bin Awad al Juhani. You see? So we must be very clear on these issues here. So these are just scholars for dollars, you must remember that, and so forth. So nobody told them they must take the name. If you just say Khadimul Haramain Sharifin, Shuraim, he never ever used the word Khadimul Haramain Sharifin. He used to always use the word Waliyu Amrihi, you see. So, and therefore he resigned. He got fed up of all this nonsense of theirs. So anyway, cut long story short. So now, you must remember, this is 1994. So I went 89, is our masjid. I went 92, is our masjid. Then Baruch Goldstein, the Jutlas, the Haramis, he's dead, dispatched to Jahannam. They built a big mausoleum and mazar for him. And the Jutlas, they go, they venerate him, they kiss his that grave and mausoleum. What a great soldier of Islam and thus and all. See? And this Harami Ben Gvir got Baruch Goldstein his big photo and all that in his house. You must remember that. He reckoned, what a great person. You see how the thinking is. The more you kill Palestinians, the greater you are. Even today, that if you see the news, I don't know if you carried it or not. So you must remember the one Jutla Harami murdered the whole Palestinian family. The right wing, that is this Ben Gvir's party, are praising that person. They say he's a righteous person and a good person. I mentioned it this morning in my news views and interview. So till today it's getting on. Whereas we are almost 2024 now, and this happened in 94. So you can see the mentality is still the same. Now we come to the government, Israeli government. So what they did? So you must remember, they stole half our mosque. The front portion, they said for you Muslims. And the back portion, you must remember, they took it over. Two entrances for the Jutlas and one entrance for the Muslims. You see? That street there is called Tariqul Shuhada. They sealed it for the Palestinians. You can't even come there. You're a Jutla, you can use that street. You're a foreigner, you can use it. But the Palestinians cannot. You go to Hebron now, you will see water apartheid. How much water goes to the Jutlas, Haramis, cursed people, and how much water? So they frustrated the people. Slowly, the Palestinians had to go out. They came in, started stealing the things of the Palestinians, occupying it. Few Muslims only are left there. If you go for namaz now, like today is what, Thursday? So you must remember that. So that Thursday, Zohar time, Asr time, all, you might be find 5-10 people there. Maybe some foreigners come with different things. Tomorrow night, Friday night, is Sabbat. On the night of Saturday or Friday night, okay, make it easier for you, Laylatul Sabt, the night of Saturday. So because Islamically, the night comes first. So they take over the whole masjid, no Muslims. They take over the whole masjid. It says they are Sabbat, you see? And so that is what Israel does. Where's the Muslim rulers? Where's the Arab leaders? So Waylul lil Arab. So that is what's happening there now currently. So they say, we took over your masjid and so forth. Nobody objected. So why we don't pull the same stunt with Masjid al-Aqsa? You see? So that is the whole plan and the whole idea. So therefore, we, as people who got some voice and so forth, and some people, it can be 0.5%, 1%, doesn't matter. We must educate the ummah on these type of issues and tell them that who the real haramis are, who the real super terrorists are, who are the people murdering people whilst they're reading Salat and so forth and so on. And yet you want to come tell us the Palestinians are terrorists. Simple, we use a law of Islam, qiyas, analogy. Putin invaded Russia. Russia invaded, you must remember, Ukraine. Putin is the president, right? So the whole world, 90%, they say Putin is a harami, he's an invader, he's a war criminal, he does that. Fine, I accept all that. So I say, then why you don't multiply that times 75 times for Israel? Israel invaded Palestine. Israel is murdering our people till now. Israel, before the state of Israel came into existence, you had three gangs, all massacring real terrorists, the Irgun gang, that were IRGUN, the Haganah gang, and you had the Stern gang. Go read about them. Even the Haaretz newspaper sometimes speaks about what happened pre-48. You must remember this type of things. Eh? And how they uprooted all the Palestinians, murdered and massacred them, and so forth and so on. So who are the real terrorists, super terrorists? And then who's assisting them? America, Britain, Europe. And so they're all accomplices in this crime. So we need to explain and expose, name, shame, and nail them. We must remember these things there. And then the last point before we go for a break. So we, the Muslim Ummah, we must do these two, three things. One, read. You can't have an emotional argument. You see, this morning I said, yesterday people sending that engine grudge between Rustenburg and all, we must boycott them. I said, see, me, I don't agree with this boycott. We must get some senior people and some ulama from that part of the world, not Rustenburg, wherever, and go speak to that person who's the owner of that grudge. Tell him we make it a win-win situation for you. That we Muslims will build here on your premises a musalla at our cost. We will pay for everything. You understood? So more and more Muslims will stop here, and then they will fill petrol, diesel, all that, whatever. They want to buy from your cafe, whatever things. So it's a win-win situation. It costs you nothing. You understood? And this type of things. You are winning, we are winning, so why should you? And it's happening in so many engine garages. You just go from Johannesburg to Durban by road, and you will see. You understand? So rather you do that. If you call for boycott tomorrow, they call for boycott of Muslim shops, then what happens? I mean, we also, you see, Muslim today, 90%, we got no akal, you know. We're just emotional, you must remember. We don't think things out. If you can explain to any person what I explain now, everybody will tell you. Unless it's a donkey, that is different. Like the Jutla's Quran says, they are kamasal al-hima, like donkeys. Surah 62 verse 5, or Surah 59 verse 14. Tahsabuhum jami'a wa qulubuhum shatta. You think they're united, but their hearts are fragmented. Dhalika bi'annahum qawmun la yaqilun. They got no brains, majority of them. So you must remember that. So that is a different issue. But if you explain, then they will understand what really happened. So when I went in 98 and so forth, then I saw all this. I was shocked. Then again 2000, I went, and again 2002, I went. There's a time I fasted the haram and went, alhamdulillah, from Aqsa to Umrah, and that's my five times I went with Allah's help. So the point I want to make is this, that remember how they stole and occupied, and slowly, slowly they're moving it front and front. So now you can say it's like two-thirds for the Jutlas and one-third for the Muslims. You see that? So that's how they, because Jutla's nature is that. That Quran says, Layyam bi al sinatim. They don't speak straight, they will speak with the forked tongue. They will say peace, we want peace, but not P-E-A-C-E, P-I-E-C-E, how we can steal more pieces of Palestinian land. So that is the whole agenda.
Inshallah, we'll go for the break and meet you after that.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Mufti Sahab, the next question is, what should we do as the Ummah to contribute?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. When I speak on Palestine, so that is my conclusion always. Okay, we heard everything. We heard so many things. So what should we do? So five things we should do, basically. Number one is dua. Dua we must always make. Second one, Iqra, read what's going on. Read the Arabic and the most powerful book, beautiful book, I told you 100 times. Haqa'iqul Qur'aniyya hawla qadiyyatil falastiniyya. Read what the Quran says regarding the Palestinian issue. It's a masterpiece, that book. English, go read Jerusalem, the key to world peace, and so forth. And in English, in Urdu, and then Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi, and all of them wrote books in Urdu and all that regarding Qadiyya to Palestine and Masala Palestine and that. So we should read all these type of things. So that is dua. Then two, read. Three, go there, nice holidays. September holidays, December holidays, when you go Dubai, go India, go London. Take the children to Palestine so you come to know that how the people are surviving there against this brutal enemy, a super terrorist enemy for 75 years. These people like me and you, we won't even last for 75 hours, leave 75 years and all these things. Yeah? So it's a miracle, karamat, that these people are still there. You must remember that. Allah will give them victory. Allah will give them the greatest reward, inshallah, in the year after. And then you must remember, if you can, take millions and thousands of rands and dollars and that, and go and help them, go help the orphans, go help the mujahideen, go help everybody there. So how many people need money there and so forth? And then remain their families and so forth, children. And then if Allah give more courage, then fasten the haram from there. Mana halla bi hajjatin aw umratin min al-masjid al-aqsa غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر ووجبت له الجنة. So Sahaba Ibn Umar and then fasten the ihram from there. Umm Salama radiallahu anha, honorable wife of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fasten the ihram from there. Alhamdulillah, we fasten the ihram there in 2002. And when I just made salam and made dua and niyat, and I stood up from where and where people came, and they kissing me and crying and said, Sheikh, please make dua for us, make dua for Aqsa, Allah must take us and that. So these are things you can never forget. If you relish it, cherish it for the remainder of your life, you know. So therefore you speak ala basira, because we've been there and we experienced these things there. And now you know the jutlas, everything, they're recording of ours. Even now they're recording, you must remember that. So then we say record, we got nothing to hide, we speak the truth, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
Mufti Saab, the next question is, when should we visit the Masjid al-Aqsa, and what should we do, which places should we visit when we are there?
100%, me, I encourage, I say, perform your Umrah, Hajj, Medina, then go to Aqsa, all of you, and the men, the women, the children, all of them, you must remember. Obviously, some of them are really corrupted, the Palestinians. Some got your communist ideas, some are really atheists, and some are murbut, some are jasus, and spies, and all that of the Israelis. But on the whole, you must remember that they are mujahideen, and they've taken the great struggle. So at least the minimum support. So you got Masjid al-Aqsa, you got Khalilur Rahman, Gaza, you can't go and all that because a lot of stories there. And there's so many other places to visit and so forth. If you want to visit the whole Palestine, so you will need minimum 1 week. You go to Haifa, you go to there, Tabariya, you go, you must remember, there to Jabal Zaytun, and you go to all the Mazarat where Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam is buried, Nabi Dawood alayhi salam is buried, you go to Nablus, you go to Janine. All these places, you must aware. This is all part of the West Bank, you must aware, with the Jutlas want to steal and occupy now.
Mufti Saab, is it possible to, when you are standing at the Nabi's Qabr, as Mufti Saab had mentioned, it's probably 80% that we're standing by Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's Qabr, for example. Can we read Isa alayhi thawab and send it?
100%. We say, Assalamu alayka ya Khalil Allah, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. 100%. And we will always also say, Ya Allah, through the wasila and barakah of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam. Yet is one academic discussion. It's good you ask that question. Even when I was there, you must remember, because every time you go, so you have different people in the masjid, different guides and that, because you go with the groups most of the time. Sometimes we are alone. And that. So half the time, I used to be the guide also, you must ask. So the last time I went, they asked me, what you will tell the Palestinians, you understand? And I said, I don't have to tell them anything. They know their history. So you must remember, they shut their mouth properly for them. The jutlas, you know, the lady jutli, harami. So you must remember that. So I tell them, I'll tell my people what is the history. You understand? I don't have to tell the Palestinians. They know their history and everything. So she just looked at me and kept quiet, you see. So the point I'm making here is this. So we must use this type of words. You must remember that. So here there's one academic discussion. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, and remember their honorable wives are also buried there. You must remember that as well. So this side Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, then the honorable wife. Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam, honorable wife. Then this side Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, honorable wife. Like that. Then at the back is, if you study, is written Qila. If you know anything about Arabic and about our Islamic terminology, Qila isharatun ila tamreed. So Qila means is a weak verdict or weak, you understand, opinion and so forth. They show you at the back one place. They say Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam is buried there. That is not true. When he, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, Surah 12, Surah Yusuf, made dua after all the vicissitudes, he became minister, he became the ruler, he became the king, and call whatever you want to. Then he cried to Allah, Fatir as-samawati wal-ard, Anta waliyyi fi dunya wal-akhirah, Tawaffani muslima, let me die as a Muslim, Wal-hiqni bi-salihin, and unite me with the devout and pious people. Surah 12, verse 101. So majority scholars say, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam passed away in Egypt and is buried there. Some ulama, they say that no, his body was brought from Egypt here to Khalilur Rahman, Palestine, and is buried there. But that is Qila, it's not authentic that. Today, to travel, I just give you my story. I went from Cairo to Tel Aviv, you know, by plane the first time. So it was El Al on top of it. There's Jutla airline. There's no other airline. It took you 45, 50 minutes. Like say Joburg, Durban, like, you know, plus minus. So you must remember that. Now imagine carrying him. You must remember Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam from Egypt right to Khalil. I mean, and that was when they were going across the ocean and what and what. So even Qarina Qiyas, even common sense will tell you it didn't happen. And an Anbiya alayhi salam are buried in the place where they pass away. So that is the law. And the hadith also teaches us that. So therefore we don't really accept that. Some ulama have mentioned it, but it's not 100% authentic. So that's also important. So when it comes to Anbiya, we should know this. All Anbiya, prophets and messengers from Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam right to Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi salam is authentic hadith mentioned in Ibn Majah. Innal arda la ta'kulu atsad al anbiya. Every Nabi, every prophet and messenger is alive in his grave. Hayat barzakhi, special life Allah gives them. And Allah Ta'ala lets them enjoy, you must remember, the fragrance of Jannah and paradise and everything else. For shuhada and martyrs, Allah says, bal ahyaun inda rabbim yuzakun. So how can you compare shuhada with anbiya? Anbiya's rank is much, much superior and greater. So therefore, 100% they're alive, and the land and sand does not devour their bodies. They are 100% intact, and that is our belief, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So therefore, we should know all these type of things. But as I said, that we can't say 100%, remember, and we'll say 80% or so, only for Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will say, that remember it is 100% in Medina Munawwara. So tonight is Laylatul Jumu'ah, abandon Durood Sharif, Surah Kahf, Surah Dukhan, all that read inshallah. Allah Ta'ala make it easy and accept. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.